Welcome to Design Forward, a podcast series presented by Mohawk Group, where we discuss innovations in design, performance, and sustainability that positively impact the built environment. Stick around for engaging conversation with our design leaders, sustainability advocates, and progressive end users who are moving design forward. Hello and welcome. I'm Elizabeth Bonner, Creative Design Director of Hospitality for Mohawk Group Durkin.
And I am Seth Brewer, Product Director for Mohawk Group.
We're excited to have you join us in this inaugural episode of our podcast series. For today's episode, Let's Talk Innovation in the Design World, we're joined by Scott Starr, Director of Product Development at Gensler New York, to chat about product innovation and its relationship to the built environment.
We are so excited. This is going to be an awesome conversation, so let's jump in and get started. So, Scott, welcome. We have some questions for you. Thank you for joining us today. Let's begin by sharing your experience with our audience. So tell us a little bit about yourself and your role at Gensler.
Well, first off, thank you for having me on your first podcast. It's a complete honor. One interesting thing that I should share off the bat is that prior to Gensler, I always worked for product manufacturers like Mohawk in marketing and product development and licensing roles. But over my career, I've cut across numerous industries, including furniture, surfacing materials, flooring, lighting, bed and bath, kitchenwares, travel goods, and fashion accessories. And looking back, I brought over 1,500 collections and one-off products to market. At Gensler, I have a twofold responsibility. I'm responsible for business development within our product development practice and management of the teams and the processes that address our product design clients' objectives. It's completely logical, but utterly ironic, that now I market and manage the delivery of product design services instead of buying them. And as someone who's experienced product design from the client side for a couple of decades, I can attest to the unique value that Gensler delivers.
So Gensler has been consistently recognized by Fast Company as one of the world's most innovative companies. Relative to your practice area, how is the current situation keeping you in the forefront of product innovation?
Well, necessity really is the mother of invention. And as it turns out, full-blown crisis is especially effective for driving innovation. In March, this very thought led me to begin researching the commercial ramifications of the last great pandemic. Specifically, and given my background, I wanted to know what products were spawned by the Spanish flu of 1918 and 1919. I got to tell you, the whole endeavor was a bit disappointing. I found hand soaps and interesting face masks galore, but I haven't turned up one Bauhaus-inspired sneeze guard or anything of that ilk. That said, the novelty quotient leapt off the charts when I broadened my search. I learned, for example, that M&M's, one of my favorite treats, I might add, were inspired by a candy distributed to soldiers during the Spanish Civil War in the 1930s. They needed a chocolate that wouldn't melt in the heat. Duct tape is another. The idea came from a worker at an ordnance factory during World War II. She wanted to make it easier for soldiers to open boxes of ammunition in the field, so she created a tape that provided a dependable seal that could also be torn open easily. I think what really fueled my interest in products born of crisis was my 9/11 experience. I was at work and remember piling into the CEO's office with the rest of my coworkers and watching his TV in disbelief as the Twin Towers came down. My life was doubly impacted as I was living just a mile north of Ground Zero and also leading product marketing for Samsonite Travel Accessories, a multi-category product collection distributed in luggage stores and airport shops on six continents. And as the travel security guidelines evolved over the next several years, I found myself developing all sorts of interesting products: airport ID wallets, help passengers present their passports and licenses to security in airports, TSA locks that allowed TSA agents to inspect checked baggage without having to destroy the passenger's lock, and 100-milliliter carry-on bottles to allow air passengers to carry liquid toiletries on board planes in limited volume. I saw firsthand how crisis and government policy translated into product innovation, so it's no wonder that the current situation had me primed. Today, Gensler is working with our manufacturer clients on the design of over 20 product lines influenced by the pandemic. Crisis, as it turns out, not only sparks innovation, but it also causes teams to coalesce around a common goal. So the ideas have been coming in fast and furious from around the firm, often driven by the express needs of our A&D clients. The trick is to innovate in a way that will not only respond to the immediate crisis, but that will also provide enduring value to our product design clients and their customers. You know, the recent relaunch of Gensler's first product design collaboration with Mohawk Group, Newtopia 2.0, is a great case in point. As part of its evolution, Newtopia's inherent ability to help enforce social distancing and to create pathways has been more thoroughly developed and expressed, but certainly not at the expense of the product's general appearance and long-term appeal. Gensler's product designs are seen beyond the pandemic to help shape the best possible built environment of the future, one that's going to utilize space optimally based on evolving needs and preferences, one that's more hygienic, and of course, one that's always beautiful and welcoming.
Those are all fantastic points. Couldn't agree with you more, and love the comment about Newtopia 2.0. That was fantastic, and we were so pleased to work with you on that. When it comes to innovation, whether it's in furnishings, flooring, technology, what should product development, product management, and design teams look for and do?
Well, there's an endless number of excellent processes and guidelines for managing product innovation, and I leave those to the fine folks at the Harvard Business Review. But while never ignoring process, there are four down and dirty things I've always done that have delivered surefire results. Number one, go where the problems are, simply because problems are often the best impetus for innovation. If you're in a manufacturing environment, go to the customer service department. Better yet, go on a long fishing trip with the customer service department, because these are the people you want to talk to. Ask them, what questions are you getting from your callers? What are the service issues? What replacement parts are you shipping? What are users asking for that we're not making or doing? In an A&D environment, you want to talk to your technical directors. One of the many great things they do is identify problems on A&D projects, problems that can often be solved with a new product. A couple of years ago, I bumped into one of our technical directors in the office, and he told me that it wasn't uncommon for TDs to knock edge-mounted cabinet pulls off of designer specifications because they often are considered to be ADA compliant. Designers, they like the minimal appearance of edge pulls on their custom millwork, but they're challenging to open for people with limited dexterity or arthritis or missing digits. So working with this information, Gensler created a line of pulls that can be edge mounted and that are also ADA compliant. Problem solved. Number two, observe changes in codes and regulations. One of the first big projects of my career was the launch of a very elaborate line of office task chairs. About 9 months before the launch, new legislation suggested the task chairs should not only tilt backwards, but forwards, and that they should have adjustable backs, all to better support computer workers. The project team pivoted quickly to integrate these features into our line, and when we launched, we were the most up-to-date product from a major manufacturer on the market. This not only helped to win a number of major specifications at the outset, but it also established a competitive advantage that turned out to be very, very durable. Number three, observe behavior. Tests of physical evidence are highly reliable and can be an awful lot of fun, too. I remember a professor in business school relaying a story about a marketing manager who wanted to fine-tune his ad buy to a very specific audience. So he went to a parking lot where his target consumer shopped and checked the radio dials through the car windows. A few years ago, Gensler was designing hotel bath accessories for a client, and one of the best things we did was to ask our staff to send in photos of the hotel bathrooms and bathroom accessories they encountered during their business trips and vacations. This gave the design team immediate insight into how hotel bath accessories were being used across a broad range of global properties and what improvements were advantageous in terms of spatial constraints, maintenance, and interface with amenities such as soaps and shampoos. Moral of the story, you need to be a bit of an anthropologist. And number four, pass the baton, because a fresh set of eyes can really do wonders. Smart City, Gensler's second collaboration with Mohawk Group, is a great example of this. As part of the process, we created many patterns for Mohawk's review. One of them became Urban Model, but the coordinating urban mobility product came about when the Mohawk design team compiled two of our patterns in an offline experiment that paid off with beautiful results.
I love what you're saying here. I come from a family of engineers, so it's been hard at times to get them to understand how closely product development resembles what it is that they do on a daily basis, and it is largely about problem solving. The best innovation happens when we can solve a problem for a customer, and it's even better when it's provided with a really beautiful casing, like the situation with Smart City, because that is quickly becoming, I think, a favorite amongst the design team. It's been a really great tile system to use and play around with in floor plans. So what is the best system to manage innovation within a company?
It's really different for every business, but in my experience, it largely depends on what the organization's product roadmap looks like. If a manufacturer has a high volume of annual product introductions, for example, a clothing maker or a kitchenwares manufacturer, you need a more regimented system that weeds out the weaker ideas through a combination of upfront analysis and market testing. This type of upfront analysis usually consists of prototyping or sampling, but this is best accompanied by preliminary engineering analysis, sourcing and production analysis, and cost analysis. Market testing exists along a continuum of sophistication. It could be as casual as a series of key account presentations, or as heavy duty as a full-blown market test. For example, soft tooling your product, and in the case of retail, selling into a smaller channel to gauge acceptance before moving into larger channels that could demand guaranteed sales and markdown money for products that tank. On the other hand, if a manufacturer has a low volume of product introductions, for example, the next generation of a current flagship product, an auto or a smartphone or a wall system, you need a really good person or team that's capable of collecting and processing the points of view of all stakeholders in a highly rational way, I might add. Someone who can do a complete 360 evaluation with operations, sales, marketing, legal, QC, sustainability, customers, and end users. It's challenging work. You need someone with a lot of fortitude, a real maestro.
Well, you know that here at Mohawk, we do pride ourselves in leading the way in innovative and innovative flooring solutions across all of our different platforms, whether it's fibers, backings, et cetera. But there is a way to manage that innovation, and it's managed differently. Whether you're a manufacturer, it's quite different from the way it could be or can be handled, managed at Gensler. So tell us some of the things you do to help your clients deliver innovative solutions.
Well, as the only product design resource associated with the world's largest A&D firm, Gensler has a virtually limitless amount of insight at our fingertips to help drive innovative solutions. On the macro level, there's the Gensler Research Institute. You may not know this, but Gensler awards research grants to groups of its employees who band together across offices and practice areas to study different issues associated with the built environment. It's an amazing thing to see. The Institute exists to explore the intersection of design and business and behavior in a way that identifies solutions for improving the built environment and human experience. And the associated thinking and findings are of enormous benefit across the firm's practice areas and projects. Also on the macro level, we publish our workplace surveys. Conducted around the globe, these surveys assess what's working, what isn't, and what's next when it comes to strategy and design in the workplace. This macro thought leadership actually inspired the carbon neutral Newtopia and Smart City products that we designed in collaboration with your company. Both are visual metaphors for the future of cities, which is central to the firm's work and vision. And both products also align with Gensler's GC3 challenge and our path towards carbon neutrality. When it gets really exciting for me, though, is at the micro level, where we create a bespoke research initiative to kick off each product design project. contrary to what one may imagine, we don't start sketching things up as soon as we get a client's design brief. Rather, we begin with a visioning phase, similar to the visioning used in our interiors and architectural projects. It could be qualitative, quantitative, projective, charette-based, or a mix. Regardless, it taps into the experts across our 26 practice areas and 50 global offices whose experience and insight is apropos to the project. This allows us to get multiple points of view from interior designers, architects, technical directors, resilience experts, brand design experts. And ultimately, it allows us to assess a manufacturer's brief before we start designing. We wind up validating the brief, fine-tuning the brief, or completely rewriting the brief. One of our clients came to us about 2 years ago to design its new entry-level demountable partition system. The glass storefronts used in commercial workspace to create private offices and meeting rooms. In the course of our visioning, we uncovered a need for a new type of wall system, one that could partition and define open areas to create more privacy or more porosity at will. One where office workers could easily change the face of the system, from metal to fabric to marker board to cork to completely open, to allow it to respond to immediate and evolving demands. So you can see, by thinking beyond the initial brief up front, as part of our research phase, we created something far more innovative.
I think we've definitely reached a time where flexibility means a whole lot in any office space, because we're constantly changing tasks and changing the way that we do things, which is case in point in the fact that now all of a sudden we're all working from home. So how do you feel innovation has been impacted by this switch to working from home?
In a way, virtual communication is a godsend to innovation because we've been able to effectively conduct roundtable discussions, focus groups, and depth interviews using all the digital platforms at our disposal. People log in and express their thoughts remarkably well. The process is especially good for covering all the discussion points, the fixed agenda. But when it comes to innovation, I have to say that what's not on the agenda is equally important. The thing that's missing in all of this is spontaneity. Getting called into a conference room on the spur of the moment because there's someone with a good idea who you should meet. Walking by a coworker's desk, seeing something interesting and unexpected on a person's monitor, and getting into a discussion about where it can lead. Bumping into a designer or a technical director who's in hot pursuit of a product that simply doesn't exist. Proximity is a very powerful catalyst for innovation, and of the many good reasons why the office is more important than ever, this one would be at the top of my list.
Well, Scott, this has been a really insightful conversation. We really appreciate you and your time today.
It was an honor to be with you.
We thank you for tuning in to our Design Forward podcast. For more information about Mohawk Group, please visit www.mohawkgroup.com. Subscribe to our podcast to receive the latest updates on trending topics brought to our conversations.